Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Going to give you a brief update on what is happening. I'm coming to you from Kenya today. Beautiful sunny day. We've been getting rains and we've been getting hot weather during the day, so we're starting to get close to the dry season. The heat increases in December and January. But we are getting some nice rains, and so our crops out at the Shamba look very good. We have 20 children in our children's home at Living Water Children's Home, 20 children. And then we have a school there that meets every day. And so the school has about 25 children because the public schools in Kenya have not gone back. They're only holding public school classes for three grades, grade 4, grade 8, and grade 12 at this time. And it doesn't look like the other children will be going back until mid-January or so. So that is the situation here. We are exploring the possibility and making preliminary plans to go to Tanzania, either in December or January for a crusade. Tanzania is wide open for crusades, and so we're going to go there, and we're not going to wait for Kenya to open. We're going places where the Lord has opened doors, and so we're looking forward to going there, and we will be there in a month or two for a crusade. It's going to be in Sarare, right across the border from Kenya. And so we look forward to being there and for many people to come to know the Lord, many people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior as we share the good news of the gospel with the people in Tanzania. So once again, if you have your Bible there, turn it to Luke chapter 16, verse 19. This is the story of Lazarus and the rich man. This is a salvation message and a message of hope, a message of resurrection. And so we're going to preach it. It's one of my favorite stories. As I spoke before, I preach it at many of the crusades that I go to. In verse 19, it says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." Well, this is a contrast between two people. A picture of a very rich man who lived a very luxurious life, a luxurious lifestyle. He was dressed in purple, which speaks of regalia or speaks of royalty. And so he was dressed in purple and he fared sumptuously every day. In other words, he never lacked for food to eat. He never lacked for delicacies. He never lacked for the things that many of us desire and many poor people of the world desire, and that is just to have an abundance of food, all the food that he could ever want, and sweet treats and delicacies. And so he was living high, you might say. And then the contrast is with the other man, the man named Lazarus. And Lazarus was full of sores, and he was laid at the gate of the rich man, and he desired to be fed only with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, and the dogs came and licked his sores. Well, as I'm reading this, I'm reminded of my life here in Africa. Beloved, it is a privilege and an honor to be here to share the Word of God with the people here in Africa. It is a privilege and an honor to preach the Crusades to these people, but my daily walk here is a walk that gives me a lot of heartache. It's a walk that gives me a lot of sorrow because I see so many poor people here. People in the town here in Mumias, this town is full of street boys living on the street. They sleep under awnings of businesses at night. They sleep in crates or in boxes at night, and they just beg for food. They don't have any good food to eat. They beg and take whatever anybody can give them, or they go through garbage piles and pick out scraps of food that people have discarded. And so this place here in Africa is one of the world's poorest places. Kenya actually isn't the poorest place that I've been to in Africa. There are other countries such as Uganda and Burundi, which are much poorer economically than Kenya. But this place, any place just about in Africa, except for a few countries here, there are many poor people. And the contrast that I see here in Africa is exactly as the contrast here spoken of Lazarus and the rich man. And so we have this rich man living inside his house, has everything that he wants, and this poor man living outside by the gate and begging for crumbs off the rich man's table, and the dogs are coming and licking the sores off of his body. Well, you may be one or the other of these two. You may identify with the rich man, and praise God if you have been blessed with many blessings from this earth. Praise God if you have a good home, if you have a good car, if you have good clothing, you have all the food to eat. Most Americans have those things. Most Americans have been blessed with privilege. Most Americans have been blessed with an abundance of food, and you have running water and shelter and all these things. People, if you've never been to another country, if you've never been to a poor country around the world, I suggest you go and make a visit to some poor country. Come to Africa and visit me, and you will never ever complain about your life in America. You have no right to complain about the material things. Yes, I know there's a lot of oppression and a lot of depression and despair in America, but you will not complain about the physical things, the physical aspects, the material aspects of your life, because, beloved, you have a wonderful life there in America compared to places in Africa and other places, India and some places in Mexico and other third world countries. You have a wonderful life there and all the material blessings that this life can give. And so we see here in verse 22 that it was that the beggar died and he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and then the rich man also died and he was buried. And so the beggar was carried to a place in Sheol or in hell called Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and he was buried. And it doesn't say where he was taken. It just says in verse 23 that he, the rich man, being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And so the rich man, now we know, is in Hades, which is in a compartment of Sheol or a compartment of hell. And Lazarus, the poor man, is in Abraham's bosom in a place in Sheol called Abraham's bosom. Well, this is an Old Testament story in a way, because now we don't go to a place in Sheol. Those that die, you immediately go into the presence of the Lord at your death. You immediately go into heaven. Your soul and your spirit are eternal. Your soul and your spirit at the point of time when your body lays down in the earth, when your body gives up and expires, which it will at some point, someday, every single person's body gives up and lays down and expires. You may have a good life. You may be strong. You may be healthy. You may be very active in your life, but at some point in time, your day on this earth is going to come when your eyes are going to close and your breath leaves your body. And at that point in time, you're either going to go to your place in heaven that the Lord has prepared for you. Your soul and your spirit will reside there until your resurrection body joins them, or you're going to go to a place in hell and wait for the judgment of the lake of fire, the great white throne judgment. And so one of two places that you can go, and that will happen immediately after your earthly walk is over. There's no holding place, there's no purgatory, there's no time to pray for your loved ones to come out of a holding place or come out of a stationary, a temporary place. And so this is the fate of all men, This is a faith, but what we have here is an Old Testament story that is in the New Testament, but it speaks of the holding place where the people went after they died, waiting for the redemption by the blood of Jesus, because at this point in time, Jesus had not gone to the cross and shed his blood for the redemption of all mankind. So we have this rich man in verse 24, and he cries out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Well, beloved, hell is a place of eternal fire. Hell is a place of eternal flame. The worm never dies there. The fire never goes out. Hell is a place of an unending torment. Hell is a place of unmerciful torment and pain. You are separated from God. You are separated from your loved ones. You are separated from any joy, any pleasure. You are separated from all of that for all eternity. Beloved, I don't know why anybody would say something like, "I want to join my friends in hell and have a party with them down there." Beloved, that is speaking the words of the devil. That is speaking words of death and destruction. And beloved, I don't know why anyone would desire that. Beloved, when you can join Jesus Christ and the angels and all of your loved ones who have known the Lord and served the Lord and worshiped him, you can join them in heaven when you die. I don't know why anybody would want the alternative, but beloved, there are some that do. And I just pray that you today, if you've never made a decision to accept Jesus Christ, that the words that I speak and the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon your heart and upon your soul will help you see the truth of the words that I am speaking, and help you see that God has a plan for you, that God has a destiny for you, he has a call for you. There are some people listening to me today that obviously don't know Jesus. There are some people that are wondering, what is this walk with the Lord all about? Beloved, I urge you, take it up. I urge you to jump on the gospel train. I urge you to commit your life to Jesus. I urge you to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus as your Lord, and take up the plan that he has for your life. Submit to him. You may not understand much about the gospel. You may not understand anything about the gospel, but get you a Bible and start to read it. Join a fellowship. Be with other saints and believers who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and want to carry out his commandments here on this earth. And beloved, you will be among those who are standing before the throne room of God someday when your life on this is over. Well, back to the verse 24, the rich man, he had all the nice things, he had everything in his earthly life, and it passed from him very quickly, as life does. If you're an elderly person, you know how quickly life seems to go. You look back on your memories, you look back on the things you've done, and half of them you can't even remember what all you've done. But we can be assured that this life goes by very quickly, and at some point in time you're going to come face to face with your death, and you're going to come face to face with the Lord. And so that is where this man, the rich man, is, and he is begging Lazarus to bring him a little bit of water so that he can cool off. Well, verse 25, Abraham says, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented." These are eternal issues. This isn't a 10-year thing or a 20-year thing or a 30-year or a career. These are eternal issues, eternal torment versus eternal blessing and the joy of the Lord in the presence of Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, and all the saints. Verse 26, "And besides all this," Abraham says, "between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, and those who want to pass from there to us, they cannot come here. And so there's a great gulf, and that gulf is present right now at this time. Those in hell can't get out. Those in hell, even though they may recognize their mistake, even though they may cry out in pain and agony and separation from God, eternal darkness, eternal fire, they can't get out. They are there for all eternity. There will be some people there. If any one of us goes to hell, you would see there will be some people there that will shock you that they're there. Some pastors will be there. Some famous celebrities will be there. Some people, politicians, famous, will be there. But they can't get out. It doesn't matter how much they regret their life or they want to change their life at that point when they are in hell. They are there for all eternity, and there is no exit from that place. And vice versa, the place where Lazarus was and Abraham is a place of eternal joy, of eternal redemption, of eternal resurrection, and you will be there and you will enjoy dancing with the angels and dancing with your loved ones who have gone on before you. And there is no passage between the Great Gulf. There is no passage between these two places in the Great Gulf that is fixed. And so then the rich man says, I beg you, therefore, Father Abraham, that you would send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let the brothers hear them. And the rich man said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Well, beloved, this is an important point right here. There are people that God raises up from the dead every single day. There are people that God raises up from accidental death, people that die in road accidents or some other type of calamity, or people that die of drug overdose or some other type of situation such as that, and they come back and they preach the gospel. And so there are many who have been resurrected from the dead that are preaching the good news of the gospel to those who are willing to hear, to those who are willing to submit. And beloved, there are those also who hear words from those who have been resurrected from the dead who deny their testimony. They deny that they have seen heaven. They deny that they have seen hell. And so even today, this situation exists, that those that have been raised from the dead are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And verse 31, this is the capstone for this scripture. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Well, that is the situation for many people today. As I spoke, there are people who have been resurrected from the dead. My own very testimony is that God raised me up from a life of debauchery, from a life of drug use and alcohol use. And at some point, I overdosed and lost consciousness. And I don't know if God took me to heaven. I don't remember any encounter with him in heaven. I do remember waking up some many hours later, and I didn't know where I was. My friends had picked me up off of the street out in front of my house, and they had taken me in and put me on my bed. But I know this, that I was dead to the world, that I had no consciousness of my life here on this earth. And I know that God has given me back my life to preach the gospel. God has given me back my life to share the good news, not just that he resurrected me, but share the good news that I can have eternal life with the Lord Jesus for all eternity. And so, beloved, that is why I'm on the radio every week. That is why I preach the Crusades. The Lord has been gracious to me. He has poured out his grace and mercy upon me. And so that is the good news for every single person. Don't take it to the end like I did. Don't go to your end of stupidity like I did. Receive the good news that the Lord has for you today. Receive the blessings that He has for you today. Walk under an open heaven and walk in the glory that He has for you today. Well, I'm going to close today with a scripture from the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bible there, turn it to Ephesians chapter 4. And you may ask, well, what happened with Lazarus and the rich man? What was the final outcome of that story? Because they're in a place where they have not been redeemed as of yet. The blood of Jesus had not set them free from their place of holding. And so we find out here in Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." This is speaking about Jesus Christ. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Well, who are the captives? The captives are those saints that were waiting in Abraham's bosom. The captives are those people who had died and in the Old Testament time before the cross, before the shedding of the Savior's blood. They were waiting for their release. They were waiting for their redemption. And Jesus went down to Sheol and he opened up the gates of hell and he led the saints out because his blood had set them free. He had taken authority over the devil. He had taken authority over the gates of hell. He'd opened up the gates of hell and he led the captives out in verse 8 in saying he ascended. What does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, these are the gifts, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature faith. Well, beloved, that is what happened. The saints that were in Abraham's bosom was led out by Jesus Christ at the time after his crucifixion. They were led out to their place in heaven by the Lord. He led the captivity captive and he took them and he said, "Brothers and sisters, we're going home. We're going to your heavenly home for all eternity." But those who did not recognize Jesus, just as in today, those who did not recognize Jesus and bow their knee to him will stay there in Sheol until the final judgment. Well, beloved, I thank you for listening today. It's been great to be with you today. Pray for the U.S. This election is far from over. Pray for the U.S. that God will expose and reveal everything that is being done in darkness. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for the many years. We thank the Lord for that. You can join us. You can support us. You can support the work of the ministry here in Africa, preaching the Crusades and blessing the children in the children's home. And if you want to do that, listen to the end of this broadcast. You'll hear contact information. Sit down, write us out a check. Let us know you're listening and that you appreciate these broadcasts. And we thank the Lord. We ask you to tune in again next week. Have a great week. God bless you.